Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Therese, who is a many, many time veteran of the Bridge Walk and has agreed to be with us this afternoon to help entice you to come join us on September 22nd. Welcome, Therese.
Thank you, Jen.
So I think you told me you've been to all but one.
Yes.
Of the walk.
all but one. And that one, I was so sad, but...
You had a really good experience.
In my life. Yeah, it was a little difficult to get there at that point.
Yeah.
But I'm at this point, though, in my life, we will be there, we hope.
Yeah.
Barring any other unforeseen circumstances.
Unforeseen circumstances, yeah. So
yep.
That's actually fun. So I was just thinking today how you're such a good candidate to talk about the walk because you came as a person in the Sangha, obviously, as everyone does, and now you're at a point where you're starting to bring your family.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I was actually thinking, too, how, maybe we'll get to this maybe, but talking about Zambia and you know, going to Zambia and how the walk is such a, it's like it brings Zambia to us in a way, and
uh-huh.
So having had been there and then, you know, so having gone to walks and then went to Zambia and then go to walks afterwards. And just the children, you know, just bringing the children alive and bringing them to us. And I thought today, I can't wait to bring my own children to Zambia, you know, like that.
Wow.
And just imagine generations going, you know, because
yeah.
I was remembering when we were in Zambia, how they said, oh, NGOs just come and go. And you know, we hope you all will stay. And here it is, you know.
And here it
how
is.
Many,
yeah.
So over 10 years later.
It's amazing. I was just thinking this is the 11th annual.
Right.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And actually, that's a really nice point that you made, that there is a long history in Africa of NGOs coming from Europe and the United States and being there for a few years and then sort of, you know, whatever, petering out for whatever set of reasons. And at first, you know, there was that dynamic, of course, of kind of checking us out and what's this all about and is it really going to stay? And just the really, really strong connection and family that we've all become over the years. And there's just no question, I don't think, in anyone's mind anymore that we're in it for the long haul, not because, you know, we're doing anything in particular about the content of what's going on there, but just because you wouldn't leave your family.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, and I was thinking of all the babies that have born that are named after you and Sherry and, you know,
and,
all their monks. And,
yeah,
and that
and
is,
we're
it is family, you know,
yeah,
so you're carrying on their generational name, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, it's funny because just today I was printing each year, one of the things we bring to the Bridge Walk is a set of big storyboards. And we, on each set of storyboards, is represented one of the years of the project, beginning back in 2005. And, you know, each year we add the story of this last year. So I was printing the photos just today for this last year. And one of them, oh, it's just the sweetest photo of about, I don't know, 12, 15 students who are among the first 100. And I was thinking about the trip that you were on, because that's when we shot that first 100 video.
Yep,
in that little
yep.
schoolhouse. We didn't even have the first property yet. We just had that. We borrowed a church, a little, very, very simple kind of one-room building from a church, and that's where the kids would go to school, and that's where we have photos of those first, you know, teeny tiny 3, 4, and 5-year-olds and the first 100 children.
I remember them so well. Oh,
And now
so
they're big. You know, they're big, and they know us, and we know them, and, oh, it's so fun.
Yeah, that's incredible. It really is. It's just, like you said, it's family. And so, and you know, and what comes with family? All the things, you know? But you stick with it. And I just remember, it's, I think what makes it too so wonderful, the Bridge Walk, is that sense of, you know, so Sangha coming together too in that new way of really seeing how we are as family and supporting each other. And we're coming from all over the place. And
And
that's what's so incredible too about, because I'm thinking about how even my perspective on the Bridge Walk, just is with practice, how it's evolved so much, you know, and the first, you know, thinking, gosh, are we allowed to look at each other, talk to each other, you know, and then, now it's just, you know, it's part of what we do as Sangha, you know, it's one of the things we get to do, and it's part of practice, and it's nothing separate or nothing different, and,
So it really,
so it really is incredible.
That sense of family into this side of the ocean. So the Bridgewalk is our annual, you know, coming together of family here and really celebrating literally family, because it's a time, it's kind of one of the only Sangha times actually where people can bring their kids, and it's perfect for kids actually. And just in the way that we've watched kids in Cantaloma grow up, and there are kids that, you know, I only see once a year at the Bridgewalk.
Right.
And have watched them grow up in these sort of, you know, 365-day leaps, you know, and it's too fun. I mean, I can think of several families right now in my head where, I mean, their kids were little, just, you know, barely walking, and now they're huge, taller than their parents, and it's, again, it's just so fun to see them grow up.
That's neat. Well, and I was remembering, too, the Bridgewalk where Teresa came, and it just, it's like, oh, my gosh, talk about what a privilege and a treat to have her there.
And that's, you know, it really is, it's an event for them on the on that side, too. They know full well when the Bridgewalk is happening, and they send me emails leading up to it, and, oh, the Bridgewalk is coming, and that's great, and have fun, and then afterwards, how was it, and they want to see the T-shirt, and, it's really, they definitely are well aware that that's kind of the big annual celebration on this side of things, of the work that they're doing there.
Right.
Yeah, so it's fun that, that this year is a marker of 800 children eating every day.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I know.
That is so incredible.
Yeah, and to think, I mean, when you were there, that was when there were 100 kids, and even then that was a huge leap because we had only just started less than a year before.
Yeah, and that's probably so many. I mean, 100 is so many. This is incredible. And digging water, you know, digging for the water, and now to see the lush green and the garden, you know, it's just incredible. So that, that is, and all the, just so much, all the developments and all the ways that it's jobs, and it's so incredible to see how it flourishes.
Yeah. And one of the things I really appreciate about the day of the walk is that it's really a time to, it really is a celebration of everything that's come before, and also sort of a welcoming, if you will, of stepping into what's to come in this next year, which, you know, very rapid, you know, in the spirit of practice, we often don't know. You know, we have an idea of what are the things on the horizon and the places we want to go, but so often, again, when I print those photos to do the storyboard, it's like, wow, we could have never guessed that that was the thing that was going to present itself this year. So it's kind of a fun launching point for the next year.
And I was kind of just thinking, too, I guess I think this way sometimes in education for so long, but I love the fall because to me the fall does seem like a beginning rather than January, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I love that it's always in the fall.
Yeah.
And it does sort of, the fall just always to me was a brand new year, you know? So it's really neat. It's such a great time of year. It's so beautiful there. And, yeah, everything about it is just celebrating, you know.
It
and
is
just
more,
the literal sense of the bridge, you know, like we're really bridging two worlds, and to get it that we're not separate, you know, we're all connected.
And that's a good point, that we do actually have really, really good luck with weather, and it's stunning to walk across that bridge for anyone who hasn't done it. It's definitely worth the trip to come and see it. Just amazing. The views you get of the city are fabulous.
Yeah, and September is, it's the best time of year to be in the city. So,
so
come if you can.
So, Therese, were you, did you participate with Jackie's dancing last year?
I did. I did. That was awesome.
I just, you know, that's a really special. So Jackie's the woman who joins us from, she lives in Canada. And she's from Cameroon and is an unbelievable dancer. She must be as fit as anyone on the planet and leads us through just the most fun, teaching the steps and doing the dance and African dance. It's so much fun. She gets everyone up on their feet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, she's amazing. She's been to a few things because I, over the years, she was at other functions too. And her spirit is just so incredible. Yeah. And the music, wasn't there music? And we had,
we had some drumming.
All the drumming gets us going. So
lots
to look forward to.
So we're just about up against the hour, but anything else you would throw in terms of the walk and your experience of it and that sort of thing?
Well, I was just thinking, too, of what all the things that lead up to the walk, you know, fundraisers that are happening. And, you know, we do have this one great day together, but it also feels like you said, we spend all year really preparing for the next year. And so it's kind of like the spirit of the bridge walk lives on all year as people do their amazing fundraisers and a lot of them include walking, which is kind of cool, or riding, being active. So I love that part, too, people are out being active all year for this, you know, to lead into this culmination of a wonderful walk.
Yeah, I really like that, too, because, of course, the vast majority of Sangha are not going to be at the bridge walk. I mean, it's a very small percentage of folks who are close enough to actually make it happen. But that it really, hopefully, the bridge walk season involves everyone, that we're all supporting the project all year long. And then, as you say, the fall, late summer and fall, is the time when we all really make that extra concerted effort to raise funds and show our support for the next year. So it's a really nice kind of concentrated effort together as Sangha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for being on. And crossing our fingers, we'll see you on the 22nd.
Yes. I keep saying, stay in there. We're coming. We're going to the bridge walk. So
all right.
Look forward to seeing you then.
All right. Take good care.
All right. Take care, Jen. Thanks.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, Michael, we'll turn it over to you and Sherry.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Therese. Good afternoon. Welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hey,
good
Michael.
Afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon.
How
that
are
was
you?
Fun.
Yes, it was.
I was thinking it is so good that people are providing the next generation of bridge walkers.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very, very, very good. Very helpful.
It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun.
Are you going to have your little bridge walkers there?
Absolutely.
Good.
Every bridge walk since they've been born.
Yeah. So I missed this one. And they're just now getting to the size where they can wear a T-shirt and not look like that. Who's the little character? I think it's in Popeye, right, who walks around with that great long night dress on. Now they're actually starting to fit into their bridge walk T-shirt. So this is very good.
It is very good.
You know, I was wondering, listening to Jen talk about that, I bet she knows, but maybe not, how many children are actually sponsored right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it would just be fun to know. So talking with Therese about being there on that first trip and those 100 children and how huge that was, and now 800. And just curious, how many of them actually have sponsors at this point?
Yes, if I get that information during the show, I'll be sure to mention it.
I just got a message, in fact, from a friend who's been doing some fundraising, and he has now generated enough funds that he is sponsoring 41 children for
goodness.
A year.
Goodness.
41. I had to do the math three times.
Well, and, I'm doing it in my head. Yeah.
Yeah,
$240 a kid, isn't it?
Yeah. So anyway, I was just curious, and I didn't say this to him, but I'm going to encourage him to actually, you know, go on the website and pick out those 41 kids, and you know, just to kind of look them in the eye, so to speak, and.
Yeah.
And know that, okay, you, and hopefully out there are people who are going to the website and doing that same thing. And, you know, just it's a great, you know, it's great to know a kid is eating. It's great to know kids are going to school. It's great to know, you know, it's great to know all of that. And, you know, for those of us who've been doing this for a while, we also know it's great to know them by name. And, you know, as we keep saying, watch them grow and hear about when where they are in school and which exams they've passed. And, you know, even though we don't do that specific, you know, my money goes to my child, I know that what I'm doing is enabling those children to have the life experience they're having. So, pretty fun.
Yes, very fun. Very fun. It's very heart-opening.
It is. It is. It makes a person, well, I think for me, it makes me grateful that I can do this, which in turn puts me very much in touch with how grateful I am that I have a life such that I can participate in these kinds of things for other people.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. So that we have so much and we can share it in these ways that that we can enjoy. You know, it's not even the, you know, you write a check and you just trust that it's going to go somewhere. This is Therese and Jen were saying, you know, it's when you can help out your own family in this way, then it's great.
Yeah. Awesome. And I have a couple of announcements here.
Hey.
Most of which we've covered to one degree or another.
Are we going to have a bridge walk?
Yes, Saturday, September 22nd. If you haven't heard about that, I'm here to tell you.
You really haven't been listening. Hey, and speaking of that, have you been following the unveiling of the T-shirt?
Yes, you're taking the words out of my mouth.
Oh, is that next? Oh, that is the most fun thing that I think we've ever done relative to this walk.
Yes.
So go ahead. Go ahead.
And you can still get one if you order by tomorrow at 11 p.m. Pacific time, which is the last day to order a Bridgewalk T-shirt.
I ordered mine.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
I'm imagining someone there next to the printing press at 11:01 tomorrow night.
Right.
Print them out.
Yeah, go.
Yes. So go to schedule.livingcompassion.org, click on the Bridgewalk, and all the information is right there.
Hmm.
Anything more you'd like to add about that, Sherry?
No, I'm just getting terribly, terribly excited about it. I'm even looking forward to the burritos.
Great.
Big part of my bridge walk.
Great.
Yeah.
Excellent. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes.
Right.
So let's get started. First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself? First caller, are you there?
A somewhat inauspicious start.
Okay, let's try again.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Uh-oh.
Sorry, I muted him in mid-sentence there. Can you hear us now?
Hi. Can you see me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi, this is Pasha.
Hey, how are you doing?
Very cool. How are you?
Good. Will we see you and increasingly large people in your family at the bridge walk?
Yes. Very good. Yeah, now we're probably going to be walking by our own feet.
Oh, yes.
The bridge.
Yeah. So we started out at 2 months, right? Was that his first bridge walk?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
He was
like
2 months, and then logically, he was 14 months at the next one.
Yeah.
And so now we're moving on into full mobility.
Yeah. Yes.
Very good.
And maybe better fit of the T-shirt, too.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, he'll be cute in that T-shirt. So what's going on with Dad?
So it's been interesting to return after a month-long and then week-long retreat in the monastery.
Uh-huh.
And there was a kind of part of me when I'm inspired with that, that is...
Pasha, excuse me, Pasha, just 1 second. Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm not on a speakerphone, but...
Earbuds?
I'm on the headphones.
Yeah, something is...
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, you were
better
kind
now?
Of down in a well a little bit. Let me see if that's better.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, okay,
can you
good.
Hear me better now?
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, better, thank you.
Yes, so I found there is a part of me who doesn't want to be on a retreat or who is waiting, you know, for me to get back into to attend its needs by not being on a retreat. So I'm not sure what's going on there.
Okay, may I just
yes.
jump right in and offer something? But first of all, let
yes.
me ask you: are you doing the email class?
I'm
no.
not sure if I do.
So you're not in the email class that's going on right now?
Yes, I probably not, yeah.
Okay, because that's too bad, because there's a giant conversation about that going on right now. So what I will say to you that can be perhaps helpful at this juncture is that's not you, and that's not a part of you.
Mm-hmm.
So what wants you not to be practicing and what
yes.
wants to get you back into easily distractible kinds of situations, stressful, difficult situations in life is what we
yep.
call egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate.
Yes.
Yeah,
it just kind of so attached to me that hero I get easily identified with when it feels to me it feels like I've been doing something for somebody else. And now there is a turn to do things for myself.
Yes.
Yes.
I me my. I
yes,
me
yes,
my.
Yes.
That's the world of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. So
yes.
it's been on the sidelines while somebody else got to be in life, and now enough
yes.
of that. We need to get back to what I want to do.
Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Now, see, the difficulty
mm-hmm.
is people think it's personal, right?
Mm.
People think, oh, this is something I'm doing, or this is me, and I'm struggling with this conflict, this duality. But it's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's that system that when it takes you over and you're
mm-hmm.
identified with it, that's the way the world looks. Those are the kinds of things you think. And then when you step out of it, as you know, when you disidentify from it, you're living in a completely different world.
Yes, it's so vastly different. I mean, this
yes.
year I was able to see such a huge difference and how the... how repetitive their life in that egocentric karmic conditioning cycle is, and how kind of it sucks me in, and
yes.
then
yes.
when I pop out of there, it's like is it me? I mean, is it really? Those are two different people.
Two different people.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I mean, most people recognize that it takes over in any circumstances, right? So you're going along and, you know, you love your family and you know that you need to go to work and support your family, and you enjoy your work. You get to work at something that you enjoy doing, and, you know, you get to choose where you live and all of these kinds of things. And when we're at center, we're just constantly in a, wow, what a lucky person I am. Now, it doesn't mean that it doesn't get stressful or you don't get tired or all of those kinds of things. But when we slip into an identification with karmic conditioning and self-hate, mm-hmm. suddenly everything is a problem. Nothing works. You hate everything. You don't know why these people are living in your house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we come out of it, we're struck by that experience of, wow, that's not me. I mean, sometimes we can be, you know, we say something to somebody that we love and afterwards think, I can't believe I said that, which is a good check-in because that's one of those places where we can know that wasn't me. I was taken mm-hmm. over. Yeah.
Yes, and it's a huge difference between me identified and me coming, for example, after retreat, and then when I'm identified with, it was interesting to notice then, okay, I'm here right now, I'm identified.
Yeah.
It seems to me like I was there for the first time when I was identified, and I'm able to disidentify, but I'm still there. I'm still identifying. I'm still experiencing the stress. I feel, you know, kind of changes in my body, and
yeah.
I'm unable to drop it.
Yes.
It feels like, because I go into a conversation to see, can I drop it or not? Is it me or not? Yes, that was kind of a struggle.
Well,
so,
here's the thing. When you can't drop it, all it means is you're still identified.
Yes.
So you can know, I mean, we can walk around going, I'm really identified. Okay, I'm really identified here. I can tell it. It's got me. And so it seems as if I'm at that point, I'm responsible. I should be able to do something about it. But in that between place that you're describing, we really can't. So all we can do is pay really close attention to what that feels like and how it happens so that we start getting more and more distance on it. Because you can see it is partway between, right? I mean, there are times when we are just completely unconscious, have no idea what's going on, right? Just comes sometime later. So those days are behind us, right? So, you don't struggle with that in the same way. Now you're in this in-between where much of the time, perhaps most of the time, you really are present and aware enough that you can watch things kind of come in and try to stick to you. And you can say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm not going to be in that conversation. I'm not going there. And you drop it and you come back to center. And then there's this in-between place where you're not at center. You are still inhabited by the evils. You know it, but there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the place you're practicing now. Eventually, you'll be able to drop it. But right now, mm-hmm. you know, you're in between enough that it's still got the power to grip you.
Mm-hmm. It's that's a new place, and it feels like I heard the story rising up. Oh, that must be really something wrong with me, because I'm stuck in here, unable to disidentify. And then I remember, of course, there is no such thing. So I am just kind of breathing through that time of being there until I'm able to move and
So if we take it into something physical, so you know there was a time when you could just stand up and just take off and just run like the wind for long periods of time, right?
Yeah.
And then maybe you spent a lot of time being sedentary and it occurs to you, you know, I think I want to be able to run like that again. And so you stand up and you take off and say, oh, my goodness gracious, you know, I can't do that. But if you start off, okay, so you're walking, and then pretty soon, you know, you're doing a little jog, and then you're jogging a little faster, and look, and over time, with practice, pretty soon, you're running again. Right? It's
yes.
the same
yes.
exact process.
Yep. Except I would compare I'm limping right now. but
yeah,
that's fine.
Yeah, limping and listening to voices saying, okay, well, that's over for you. You know, this is, you're benched now. You're never going to, and you just go, no, this is what I'm doing right now. And what I'm working toward is I'm running. Okay?
Yes.
Yeah, very good.
Yes.
Very good. Don't let him talk you into getting discouraged.
No, I won't.
Okay, good.
Thanks,
Tasha. See you soon.
Yes, see you on the bridge walk.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tasha. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear an important message, and then we'll be right back.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta from Washington State.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is David calling from Hawaii.
This is Janet calling from New Hampshire.
Hi, this is Catherine from St. Louis.
Rebecca from Austin, Texas.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. It's Anna here from Yorkshire in England.
It's Ramita calling from South Carolina.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Todd calling from Canada.
2012 marks 10 years that Sherry and Michael have been doing Open Air. They have fielded thousands of your calls and archived hundreds of shows. In this year of deepening practice, we invite you to give a donation to support Open Air. Go to the Living Compassion website, click on the Donations tab, and make a donation of any size to the Zen Center, writing Open Air in the notes field. Step forward to be part of expanding the transformation. Lend your support today.
We're very lucky people.
We are very lucky people.
See you next week.
See you next week.
Good night.
Good night. Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry. Hey, Michael. It's Sridevi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. Are we going to see you at the bridge walk?
Yes, yes. You should
very,
be seeing
very,
me. I'm just working out. I'm coming back from the East Coast that Friday, so I'm making sure that I'm getting back that night so I can be there the next day.
Perfect.
Yes. Very excited. Looking forward to it.
Good. Me too. Me too. What's going on?
So I was calling because I am finding, first of all, I just have to put in a plug for Reflective Listening Buddies because it's just been one of the best things, I think, best programs ever, because on my Reflective Listening Buddies call last night, of course, I was reflecting of what I'd been noticing, and of course, in the process of talking out loud to somebody else about it, kind of just saw how the voices have put me back in a position of being so afraid that I'm going to fail that I don't even try. And just, you know, of course, the voices are saying things like, well, it's likely that you're not going to be able to do it, so why do it and fail? Just better not to do it at all.
Yeah.
And so I saw that and I went, wait a second.
That's,
you know what,
not
I'd
the
like to
cheerleader
test
I had in mind. Thank you.
I know. And I've seen it get me with other things, but it was a really nice moment. And the way that actually came about was I'm at a point right now where I'm really trying to work past the conditioning I've had for feels like forever around my body image and my weight. And I'm just seeing that, and I was picking up the book, Making a Change for Good, and looking at it in terms of, okay, I want to give up sugar, or I want to do this, or compassion, self-discipline. And as I was rereading it, I was just so struck by one of the statements, which was, you know, it's about choosing how to be present in the moment versus the patterns of conditioned mind. And it's not about how how to be, or how I think it was says something like lack self-discipline. It's about how do I be present? And I just, it was like this light bulb switch, like from dark room to light room, because for so long I thought it's about discipline, and it's about, no, it's about being present. And what I'm finding that I'm struggling with is I almost don't know the right versus wrong. Like I'm going, okay, wait, am I being present now? And if I'm present, is this making the right choice for me and eating this or not eating this? And I just feel like being in the voices wrapped up in that conversation for so many years,
yeah,
I almost feel like just stuck. Like I don't even know what to do right now.
Yeah. Yes. And the going up into conditioned mind to try to figure it out feels
yes.
at least like doing something.
Yes.
So
yes.
I don't know what to do, but I'll turn it over to conditioned mind to play this little mental tennis game between the two sides of a duality until I'm just thoroughly worn out and miserable.
Oh my God! Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And of course, the deadly part for us is that it's got dozens of those, right? Every
yeah.
person has dozens of those. Should I? Shouldn't I? Is it? Isn't it? Would that not be? It just spins from one to the next to the next to the next. So the helpful thing to me, so if this is an eating kind of thing, one of the things that I think we don't ever want to do in practice is leave it up to chance until we're very certain that our relationship with center is solid enough that we're going to be able to be there for ourselves.
Mm.
Okay? So that's why in monastic practice, there's a schedule. Because we need a lot of assistance, a lot of support for showing up to do practice the way practice needs to be done in order to provide for us what we want in our lives. So to have that same relationship with something like exercise or food or work or anything else that we want to do. So we decide in a really centered place how we're going to do something, the choices that we're going to make. And then the work is to, and this goes back to the book, right? So the work is to stick to that. But the real work is to see how conditioning tries to talk us out of what we've decided to do.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That, because that's what provides the freedom. Seeing
and
that.
And what's interesting is what I've noticed, having tried to do this so many times, I do really well for 2 weeks, and I do the planning, and I have the foods, and I do the grocery shopping, and it feels good, and there's still the struggles with but I really want that cookie, or I want to do this, but I just stay present. And then I always fall off 2 weeks into it, and I'm like, why can't I get past these 2 weeks? It's like without fail. And I think that's where the part of me that goes, or condition comes in, well, might as well just give up.
Yes.
You're never going to make it past
yep.
2 weeks.
Yep. Now, this is slightly off the subject, but not really. Are you familiar with the Awareness Coaches program?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, it's on Sangha Market, and it's a group of people who have been doing practice and are working with me to be able to assist people, not unlike the Reflective Listening Buddies. It's the same type of program in that someone would be there to be in communication with you about what's going on with you with something specific like getting past the 2 weeks. So
yeah.
It happens partially by phone and partially through email, but it's an extra layer of support it's for anything. It's for keeping practice commitments. That's why we set it up. Because it's really true that with just about anything that we're trying to accomplish, you know, practice is there for us we have an extraordinary range of practice supports for people. But there was a missing piece in having somebody who is there regularly to support you in your specific focus.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what the awareness coaches are doing. And if it sounds good to you, you can go to Sangha Market.
Oh my, that sounds great.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
that
well, it'll
fabulous.
it'll walk you through it. And what the way it goes is you send an email to me. You know, it's just a little thing about, you know, I want to work on this and this and this, and then I'll set you up with somebody who can assist you with that. Then it's
mm-hmm.
then the two of you get started and you go from there.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. That,
yeah.
Oh, I love that. Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, it's a good program. It's they're great, and we've, you know, as we try to do with everything in practice, we've priced it so that, you know, people can do this as much as they need.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think what's been interesting to see is for so long I have thought that I, as in Sri Devi, wanted to be as thin as humanly possible, though I kept saying, oh, I don't really want to be thin. I just want to be healthy. No, I really wanted to be thin as humanly possible.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm going, wait, but that's actually not what I want. I want to
yeah.
be healthy and I want to feel strong. And it's about, you know, looking at, you know, how I want to be when I'm older and active and what are the choices I have to make now. So knowing that that's what my heart wants
yes.
versus what conditioning is going to convince me that I want because of, you know, I need to look like everybody else or
yeah.
I need this to make a partner happy.
Right. And the thing that's so good to see about this is it gets you on both sides, right? Oh, you really
yeah.
want that cookie. Just one. Just one.
Oh, yeah.
Just, I mean, just this. Well, what about that? Well, you've been so, you know, you've worked so. And then on the other side, you're supposed to be thin as a person can be and stay alive.
Yeah.
So it's just,
yeah.
it's evil. The way it just, you know, it gets you on that side, then it jerks you over to that side, it beats you up on that side, and then makes you miserable on the other side. It's
yeah.
evil.
No. And I love that idea because I think, like, it's so perfect, this awareness coaches, because it's exactly, I think, to get through that first hump that just comes up every
yes.
2 weeks, to have that support to just work
yes.
through that,
yes.
I think will be
yes.
brilliant.
Yeah, because right. the other point that you're making that's so important for everybody is it sets a person up to fall for its stuff at a,
mm-hmm.
in a certain way at a certain point.
Oh, yeah.
So after a while, you know, it's true. You know, there are people who have started every email class that we've ever done and dropped out after class two. Well, after six or seven times when the voice says, you know you're going to drop out after the second one, why don't you just not sign up? You know, the
hmm.
person is very tempted to say, well, that's true. Why am I doing it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the box we don't want to let ourselves get put into, because the determination, of course, has to be, okay, fine. You know, I've quit a program like this at 2 weeks 1,000 times. This time I'm not going to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, fabulous. I'm signing up.
You're on it.
I'm so excited, and I'll be reporting back, hopefully, pretty soon.
Excellent.
After
you
I
just
pass the first 2
time.
Weeks. Yeah. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks as well.
All right, great.
All right,
thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Sri Devi. You're listening to Open Air. And we have another caller, Sharon.
Good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Rochelle from Charlotte.
Well, hello.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. And
how you doing?
Bucks up there at the monastery. I am doing fine. This is my year of deepening practice, and I have made a promise to call every quarter, and the end of this month would be the beginning of the fourth quarter. But also I've been dealing with something that I need your input and assistance with.
Great.
Okay. When I was at the monastery taking the There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat, one thing that kind of my kind of personal coin is how to live and work in a crazy world and still be okay and centered. And
uh-huh.
I've had a lot of ups and downs of work, and I'm taking a year off. And I have been doing well with my deepening practice, I'm taking an email class. I'm in the B class. And the assignment that we have now in the past, I think really kind of get to the core of some of the things that I'm dealing with and kind of the heart of practice is turning that attention away from what conditioning wants you to pay attention to. And so I've been working with that. However, there are some patterns that keep showing up that I keep having to turn my attention away from. And usually it's external. I've made some changes in my work life and personal life and having everything centered around practice. But there's still a lot of feeling and regarding that old content with work. And I practice dropping those feelings of anger and hurt and things like that. And I got to a point where I've done pretty well. I kind of let go of a lot of that and drop it. But I get a phone call from a colleague, and then all of a sudden, all of that anger, that hurt, that story, that content, that attention is back again. And I struggle to get back to center. And I can't, I mean, I live in a community, I work in a community, and I love being at the monastery, but the reality is that I live where I work, and that content will pop up every once in a while. And so I'm trying to see how I can deal with it, but still be centered and be okay. And some of this is a lot of emotion. I've got a lot of sub-personalities that are closely aligned with conditioning, and they're immature, they're young, and they have a lot of anger, rightly so. But I've tried to kind of console them, and they are consolable, so I don't think that they're ego, but, you know, their reaction, you know, when somebody calls or when some content comes up is it's just like pouring gasoline on a fire. So I'm, you know, sitting there trying to, you know, not be angry or not get back into that story that I've worked so hard to drop.
I mean, that's it perfectly described. And what I was looking at as you were describing it is, you know, first of all, when we're really angry or upset about things, and there are a lot of really upsetting things in the world, things that people do and ways that people are and things that go on that are really, truly upsetting. And if we try to convince ourselves that we shouldn't be upset, we can just, we can make ourselves sick.
Because I've been there.
because it is upsetting. And to me, where that leaves us is accepting the fact that this is really upsetting. And I could be really upset by this. But what I choose instead is to be the difference. You know what I mean? Because that's all we're left with. You know, I mean, people are doing despicable things to people all over the world all the time. And there's not a darn thing we can do about it. And getting upset and ranting and raving and turning it into hating people, you know, just kills us and contributes to the situation. You know, energetically, whether we're doing anything overtly or not, energetically, we are right there in the hatefulness. But to say to ourselves, I know exactly what's going on, and I know exactly how I feel about it, and I choose not to go down that same road. And I don't know about you, but I suspect I do know about you, actually. all my heroes, that's the choice that they made. In the face of despicable, unspeakable hatefulness and cruelty directed not only at innocent people that they cared about, but at themselves, directly at themselves. And to be able to stand there and say, yes, I understand it fully. I don't want to be like that.
Well, and a couple of things that come up in hearing that is that I've come to the realization I can't run and hide. Even though I've left work and things like that, I have friends, colleagues, and people that still turn to me for help and advice. And so it's not going to go away.
Right.
To some degree. Mm-hmm. And outwardly, I think that I'm very calm and try to point people in the right direction. In fact, I've given away so many of your books, it's ridiculous to try and help people deal with this. I don't think I'm outwardly angry, but I end up being inwardly depressed because I'm holding back those kind of feelings.
Yeah.
And the sub-personalities are jumping up and down saying, you know, we should be angry about this. This is awful. This is, you know, not good. And how can they treat people this way? How can they do this? And I'm trying to talk to them like, yes, it's bad, and yes, it shouldn't happen that way, but it does. And rather than letting this anger eat at us, we're going to look at it a little bit more constructively. And the more I deal with this, I realize that some of those are just very immature sub-personalities.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be the adult. But it takes a lot of energy to turn that attention away.
Yes. And, you know, the other thing to watch out for with that is that karmic conditioning, self-hate, will use those young folks to try to stir up trouble. You know, to talk in terms, you know, to point out the unfairness and the injustice and the cruelty, and to keep them in a conversation like that rather than what I suspect you're trying to do, which is to get their attention turned toward what is the difference we can make. But let's focus at the end of every day, let's focus on all of the things that we put our energy toward that was not cruel and hateful and unjust. And it's hard. You know, I'm really the you know, out there on the fringes of everything. And I was out for a walk last night, and walking in this area where all of these huge, beautiful, beautiful old trees are being cut down because the roots are disturbing the sidewalks. And I mean, I have to just watch myself, you know, come back to, no, it's not helpful. It's not helpful to just focus on the level of idiocy that would cut down huge, beautiful trees to save a sidewalk.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's going to understand that. The world we live in, that is just not something that's valued. And so, you know, we just come back. I mean, for myself, I just start focusing on, okay, where can I plant trees? Where can I plant trees? Because I got to plant trees to make up for the ones that are being cut down. And so, you know, where are the people being treated unfairly and unjustly? Okay, all right. Where are the people we can help? What can we do that's different? Because hating the people who are being hateful is not getting us where we want to be.
Oh, right.
But it's hard.
Yeah, and I think part of what it is conditioning is trying to sell me the story that because it's hard, and because I keep running against this, that there's something wrong with my practice, something wrong with me.
Well,
and I think it's just hard. And
yep,
I will face this and have faced it, and I'm turning away from being an angry person and all of that to making it constructive so it's healthy for me.
Yeah, and stick close to your heroes.
Yeah.
You know, stick close to the people who will talk about how hard it is to keep making a choice for love in the face of everything that's hateful.
Yeah, yeah.
And thank goodness we've
really
got them.
I really appreciate it.
You take care, okay?
Okay. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. And I've recorded this, so I will be able to listen to this conversation several times.
Good. Good. All right. Talk to you soon,
thank
huh?
You. Okay. Bye.
Okay. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Rochelle. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Very good.
You are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So shine.
This beautiful song by Trish Bruxford Colligan invites us to celebrate the unique light each of us brings to the world. Simply Celebrate wants to support you in living into that light, no matter where you are on the path, but especially when it's a little hard to see in the dark. With great gratitude to Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha, Simply Celebrate uses the practice as a foundation for everything we do. We offer coaching, books, and self-mentoring programs to help you find more joy, color, spontaneity, and connection, moment to moment. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
This is Scott from Porch Dog Software. Today we're talking with Lanny, one of Porch Dog's favorite clients. Lanny, what do you think Open Air listeners might want to know about working with Porch Dog?
Well, Scott, I think they might want to know that you write all kinds of software for Macs and iPhones and iPads and for all types of companies, big ones and small ones like mine. And you do your work with a lot of enthusiasm.
Yeah. You know, one of the things we love about Open Air is the energy and enthusiasm in every show. We try and get lit up about everything we do here at Porch Dog Software, too.
Everything?
Yep. Especially the things we don't like.
Sweet.
Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
Welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Okay.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Michael. It's Rebecca.
Hey,
hi.
Rebecca.
Hi. How are
you
y'all?
Up to?
Oh, I'm just, I thought it had been a while since I'd called in. And I have been looking a lot at the privileged environment and watching, especially after this last weekend, watching how it has seeped into my life and how much happier I am because of it.
Aha. Can you say more about that? Can you say more about the increased happiness as a result of the privileged environment being more a part of your life?
Yes, I would love to. You know, projecting, let's be honest, I was projecting on some family members this weekend and kind of looking at what's the difference. Why do I not seem to be as, you know, discontented, as, you know, and just sort of stirred up about stuff and just so, you know, miserable. And what I kind of looked at or traced it back to was one of the elements of the, that I just so learned from the privileged environment is this attitude or this posture, I guess you would say, of reflecting and speaking from one's own experience that we do when we're at the monastery, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has, you know, I see some loved ones who are just so, it's kind of not unlike what was just being talked about. It's so easy to get sucked into the misery of the world and caught up in everybody's problems and what's wrong with everybody and, oh, if they would only do this. And I, you know, and I just don't seem to be going there anymore too much. And it's, and I just credit this, this kind of reflective it's not that I do reflective listening all the time, so I don't mean to imply that. It's but when I am like talking to someone I love, it feels much more like I'm listening and owning my own stuff that comes up. And it's just, and the only thing I can think of is that it's just been all this training over the years. It's like it wasn't a conscious decision that I made, you know, like, okay, I'm going to be like this now. You know, it's more just like over the years, it's sort of become how I approach the world. And I just see people spinning in this misery that I don't seem to be spinning in.
And so do you project that it's people's attention is on what's wrong in the
mm-hmm.
world, and then
mm-hmm.
that becomes the sort of the world they live in,
mm-hmm.
and then that's the source of the misery?
Yeah, but then you throw on into, you know, sort of assumptions, you know, like, yes, the attention is definitely on that, and then there's all the standards
uh-huh.
and the assumptions.
Uh-huh.
You know, I can see so clearly the sign and the monastery assume nothing. You know, it's like, and then you add on to that then better ideas, you
uh-huh.
know, of this is the way it should be, and why don't we just, and it just seems to be just a recipe for misery that
unnecessary.
The unnecessary, and that the privileged environment sort of I don't know, I'm imagining sort of this safe space that just that recipe for misery just isn't fed. You know, it's like what was in the email class. We just don't feed that wolf, you know.
And so when you're around folks who are living in that reality, do you get information about yours is the wrong approach or what's going to happen to the world if everybody takes your passive orientation? Or are you able to just stay in a kind of a reflective, listening, interested place that nobody knows that you're not actually participating in the same way?
the latter.
Uh-huh.
You know, it used to be the former. I project. I really suspect it's more that I was in that form, that place, you know, years ago when I was so struggling with social justice and how we can, you know, all that stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then now what I'm finding is that people seem to be coming to me and talking to me and seeking kind of, you know, like my, you know, people I love and who love me. And that is, and I just project that it's a safe place. And I can't tell you just how much pleasure and satisfaction and joy it brings me to be able to hold that space. You know, like my mother went through surgery not too long ago. And I was able to be with her in a really difficult time. I mean, it was bad in a lot of ways. And I thought, man, I'm so grateful I could do this because this was pretty taxing stuff, you know?
And you can sense, well, you don't even have to sense it. You can remember another time when you would be with your mother in a difficult circumstance
oh.
and it would be bloody.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. I can just feel my... what is this? The solar plexus tighten up even as I go to that memory. You know, kind of like, oh, I'm a sinner, you know, all this kind of gripey stuff. I mean, yeah, I spent decades like that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And so what I hear you saying now is through practice, being able to be with people you love and actually be just kind of a loving, present, neutral space for them to be however they are, and you can just enjoy them.
Sherry, I think we lost her.
I don't think it was something I said. Do you?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
It was all on the up and up as far as I could tell.
Okay, good. Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Darn. Not in the queue here.
Okay, well, maybe we'll find her again, because...
Yes. And we're a little short on time. Wait, hold on. I see South Texas here. One moment. Rebecca, is that you?
I'm back.
Okay, good.
I was just creating this little picture of a safe, neutral place to be with your loved ones where they could feel accepted, and then you went away, and I was hoping I wasn't, you know, it wasn't the picture I was presenting.
No, I was in another neutral place.
I see.
that is, you know, and it's just, you know, I don't know how much of it is my own projection, but you know what, really, who cares? Because it's like I'm in just this place a lot of the time that feels so, really, it feels like a service, you know, and relaxing and peaceful and all those good things, you know. And of course, it's like what you were talking about earlier. I still get tired and I still, you know, cry about stuff. And it doesn't negate any of that stuff. It's just
right.
A different way of being in the world.
Yes. Yeah. And it does feel like service, doesn't it? Just
mm-hmm.
just to be able to kind of move out of the way and just be there with somebody. It is like reflective listening in that way, or facilitating, to just just be a presence, an accepting, compassionate presence. And somebody can just be however they are at the time.
Yeah. And, you know,
all
I
want.
Really. So you say that last part again?
It's what we all want.
Yeah, that's what I guess. I mean, I think so too. And, you know, I get what your teacher used to say about being a social relief.
Yes.
I mean, I really get it now. I didn't get it for years because, you know, I thought it meant something else, like correcting injustices and stopping those people who are cutting down those trees, you know, and really going and getting an injunction or doing whatever you needed to do, to, you know, all of that kind of stuff. But I get what he means.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just, you don't need anything from anyone.
Yeah.
To me, that's what he was talking about. You're fine.
Yeah.
You're adequate
to
your experience and you're taking responsibility for your life.
Mm-hmm.
There.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and trusting life so utterly that's how we can not even, you know, just you know.
Yes.
Trust life. Yeah.
Well,
and
good.
The cool thing about it, I'm sorry, can I say one last cool thing about
please,
it?
Yes, please.
Is that, you know, not only is it a service we can imagine for, like, the others, but I don't get left out of it.
Right.
The only way it'll work, as a matter of fact, I guess.
Yeah, because you're actually getting the most out of it, aren't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's like my life has been saved, literally, you know?
Yeah, because you can just be, and you can be with what is, and you can be with those that you love, and you can feel that love instead of needing to judge them or correct them or fix them or change them. You can just be there in that love with them.
Yeah.
Then we can practice it with total strangers. What the heck?
Yeah, why not?
Because, you know...
I can be... Oh, go ahead.
Well, it, looking at... you know, just in this conversation, so my daughter... lives in the Pacific Northwest, and there are, in fact, really tall trees there and a lot of rain, and tall trees tend to fall over when there's a lot of rain. And so they started falling on her house, and so she had some of them cut down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know why those people are cutting down. I think it's rather foolish to cut things down because they're disrupting sidewalks. But if it were my daughter and the tree is going to fall on her house, it becomes a different issue for me. Now,
mm-hmm.
what's that about? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, the place I go with that is it really is never what, it's always how.
Yeah.
You know, and who knows?
And who knows? That's it. Who knows? We don't know, do we?
Mm-hmm.
We have no idea what anything is for anyone, including ourselves.
Yes, and boy, isn't that the last one to fall, you know, like we think we got to know, at least for us, you know, but it just is a luxury that we can't afford. If, I mean, I guess if we want to end suffering anyway.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, maybe those, you know, cutting those trees down was, you know, that whole thing was just my best opportunity to decide that, as we were talking about with Rochelle, that what I don't want to do is hate people for any reason.
Yeah.
And I don't need to use the love of trees as an excuse to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, you know, one time there was some trees being cut down that to widen a road near where I lived. And, you know, I was just so heartbroken. And the only thing that occurred to me to do was to sneak out early one morning and put a sign on a few of them that said, "We're sorry." And I overheard some people at my church talking about 3 weeks later about, "Did you see that somebody put a sign on those trees?" And it said, isn't that kind of sweet? And I just smiled and was like, "Really? That's neat." Yeah. I mean, it was like, you know,
yeah.
Who knows what,
exactly.
You know, like this conversation tonight. You know, I mean, just, yeah, I don't know, it just kind of takes me back to who knows.
Choosing love.
Well, and I'm so glad that the guidance and the support has been there to have my attention on what I want it to be on, which has been on the privileged environment and all of that. And it's just kind of cool to have that training and support and encouragement. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Take good care of yourself, okay?
I will.
I'm going to see you soon, too.
Yes.
Very
you
good.
You are going to see me soon, yes.
Very good. All right.
All righty.
Good
night,
Rebecca.
Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You've been listening to Open Air. And we are blessed people, Sherry.
We are. We are, Michael. We must never lose sight of that for a second, huh?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Right. I'll see you soon, too, but I think I'm going to talk to you before, right?
Sounds great.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks,
good night.
Sherry. Good night.